Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Let's turn to the Bible, the Word of God. Please, if you have one, if you could turn to the book of Galatians. If you don't, then I'll just read it to you. That's fine. Galatians chapter 4. And we'll just read three verses. We want to start in verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Back, please, to chapter 3. And we'll read verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. And back a chapter again to chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And God will add a blessing on the reading of his precious and holy word. We'd like to thank you for coming to the meeting this afternoon, and we trust that God will bless you. We want to look at the Bible, which we believe is entirely God's word. God has spoken to men and women directly, and he's revealed how that the Lord Jesus is the only saviour of sinners. In fact, he came from heaven in order that he might pay the price for your sin and for my sin. He took our place, and he paid the consequences of sin. And that's what we want to look at today in the book of the Galatians, which sometimes is called the defense of the gospel. And Paul is writing to a church at Galatia, and he's telling them of how that this gospel is not to be mixed with any other type of thing. It's only by faith in Christ alone. And the gospel that we preach is Christ crucified. And we want to point you to a risen man, a living man in heaven, who is now alive and able to save you. We don't preach a dead Christ. We declare to you the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus, who died at the place called Calvary, the middle cross, and that he might have died for you. And we want to look then at these, in particular, perhaps just these three verses. And we might dip into a couple of other verses. And so we're learning in chapter 4, that there was the fullness of time, and that God did something when the right time arrived. What did he do? In chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. And it was always God's purpose that people might be redeemed. What does that mean? It just means to be bought back again. We were those that had fallen and had become in bondage to sin and to the consequences of sin. and we needed to be liberated. We need to be freed from that. We need to have life. We need to have righteousness. And so he's saying that God sent his Son. Can you imagine that? God loving you so much, and God loving me so much that he gave everything that he had, the very best of heaven, to die upon a cross down here on earth in his creation, that you might be saved, that there would be the possibility of you turning to him and accepting the Lord Jesus as Saviour. But we also read, didn't we, some other verses. But the reason that we have to be redeemed is because there is a curse and because there is a problem. And Christ hath redeemed us, it says. That is to believers. If you're not saved today, you're not redeemed. You're not yet bought back. You need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You need to turn from your sin. You need to come to God through the Lord Jesus and believe that he took your place at the place called Calvary. And then you can say that I'm redeemed and that I've been freed from the bondage of sin and that I am forgiven before God. I want to ask you today, from the very back of the hall to the very front, just don't speak out, just in your own heart. God knows all about you. He knows your background. He knows everything about you, what you've done in your life, what you're thinking right now. And he knows whether you're saved or not. I wonder before God, are you saved? You can perhaps hoodwink or fool the people that you shake hands with or come in contact with, but you can't fool God. And my friend today, the challenge from God is, are you saved? What have you done with the gift of his Son? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. What have you done with him? Are you believing in him? Are you trusting in him? And if you are, if you can say that you're redeemed, it says there in verse 13 of chapter 3, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so the law itself has a curse. What do we mean by that? Well, the law was that 10 commandments, which were given by God to show that men and women were sinners, that they could not keep all the commandments. And everyone today has broken something of God's law. If you want to read about it in the book of the Old Testament and read about it in Exodus and about the law that was given. And everyone today at least has told a lie. I'm sure of that. And if you say you haven't, well, there's another lie. My friend today, each of us have done that which is wrong. That's what sin is. I wonder if you are honest enough today to declare that, to say that, that you're a sinner, that you are someone that thinks wrong things and that has done wrong things. Whether it's even saying no to your parents, that's sin. And disobeying, and perhaps there are greater sins, disobeying the laws of the land and murder and so on. I'm not saying that you've done these things. But even if you have, God's message is for you today. God's message is for the whosoever. And we are preaching a Christ, the Lord Jesus, who is the answer to whatever problem you have. And there is a curse for the law, and that curse is the consequences of not keeping the law. And what is that? It is death. And so the Bible tells us that we are those that must needs die. And as water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again. If we're in any doubt what the Bible's telling us, look at verse 22 of chapter 3. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. My friend today, the Bible tells us that it's not just you, yourself, that can admit because of your conscience that you know that you're a sinner. But God declares, for it's God's word, the scriptures declare that you are under sin. And that's the message that needs to be faced up to, that there is a problem in your life and mine, that all are under sin. But that verse goes on to say that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And so there's a promise that's given to them that believe. And that's what we want to come on to. That's the good news of the gospel message. That is trusting not in yourself and not in another, but trusting only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's think about that. The curse of the law, the consequences of our sin. Sin is that which marks every single one of us. So we must underline that today. None are exempt in our whole world, or for all that have ever lived or will ever live. As by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And without exception, we are those who are sinners that have disobeyed God, have offended a holy God in heaven. And you and I, because of our sin, there is a curse. There is consequences. What does the Bible say that is? The wages. In Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the consequences is death, not just physical death. And we know that's true, but we're talking of eternal death. The second death, as Revelation chapter 20 speaks about it. Read that for yourself. I wonder if you've read the Bible much. I want you to look at that. Revelation chapter 20. And the Bible's speaking of a judgment scene. It's speaking of the end of time and of all those that will stand before the great white throne. You see, the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And there's another time. We've been thinking of the fullness of time. At the right time, God sent forth his Son, the Saviour, the one who can save you. He sent his Son. But there's another time coming, that when you die, an appointment you must keep, when you will leave this earth altogether, where then will you be? And you'll be in eternity, the ever presence, ever eternal present of being either in heaven where God is, or being lost in hell and the lake of fire. A real place. Revelation chapter 20 speaks like this. And I saw, and John's the writer, and he's writing what he sees as he's given a glimpse into the future. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was no place found for them. The things of time, they're going to flee away before the face of the Eternal One. And I saw the dead. That's those that are under the curse of the law, that have not been redeemed from the curse of the law. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books are opened, and another book is opened, which is the book of life. My friend, today, a judgment scene, and you're guilty. You're guilty now. The Bible has concluded that all are under sin. We're under condemnation already, the Bible says. But in that day, there will be no possibility of turning, no possibility of being saved. It's too late. And so the warning goes out in the gospel message. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. My friend, today, we ask you to consider your never dying soul, and eternity that you're hastening towards, for one day it will be too late. And if you're not saved, you'll stand before the great white throne. And very solemnly, God declares, as we read the Bible, that those that were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And what a real place. An awful end. And how long for? Perhaps a few years. If we disobey the laws of this land, we get a few years in prison, don't we? And rightfully so. But my friend, today, it's not just for a few years. Not even a lifetime. Perhaps a lifetime of sin, you might think, well, a lifetime of judgment. It's much more serious than that. God is much more holy than that. I can't describe to you how holy God is. He is of light that is unapproachable. He cannot even have sin in his presence. He is of purer eyes than to look upon iniquity. And if we enter eternity and we're not saved, and we're not freed from sin, and we don't have the forgiveness and eternal life, my friend, it's an eternity of judgment. Forever and forever and forever. And so because there is wrath, beware, the Bible says, lest he, that is God, take thee away with his stroke and then a great ransom, a great price cannot deliver you. My friend, today, you need to make things right with God now. You need to turn to the Lord Jesus that you might have life, because you're under the curse of the law. We're all under sin, and the consequences of our sin are eternal, forever and forever and forever. Is there any good news in this message? Is there any hope? My friend, today, we've read something of God's movements, and God has moved, and he has sent the Lord Jesus into the world. But first, we want to declare that in verse 16 of chapter 2, that we know something. We know. And we know because God tells us. We know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. What does that mean? Justified just means declared righteous. So a man is not declared righteous by the works of the law. In other words, the law, keeping the law, it can never save you. Religion can never save you. Anything that you do, whether it's praying or going to church or giving to charity, good though these things are, and they are, and being a good neighbour, a good citizen, upright, and so on, they're all very, very good things, but they can never save you. We are not declared righteous by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And so we need to believe. We need to be declared righteous by the faith of Christ, not by works of the law. In other words, I just want to tell you today that though that you are a sinner, that you have no possibility of entering into heaven by your own merit, you're still under sin. You need to be freed from sin. You need to have life that is from above. And so the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, it says all our righteousnesses are but filthy rags in God's sight. And as God looks down from heaven, your life and mine, any attempt to earn merit with God or enter into heaven by our own selves is going to be doomed to failure. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, there is only one way. The Lord Jesus says that he is the way. In John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's why we've read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. I want to tell you, in the words of John 3, verse 16, that God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his all. I wonder if you recognize that. Maybe you feel unloved by everyone in the world, but God loves you. And my friend today, he demonstrated that. He showed it fully when he gave his Son. He sent him from heaven to earth. He sent him not only to earth, but to the cross of Calvary, that middle cross, that he might suffer, that he might know rejection by men, and that he might be crucified, an agonizing death, and that in hours of darkness he'd bear your sin on his own body upon the tree. The Lord Jesus, who is he? What difference does he make? I want to tell you, he makes all the difference. At the right time, God sent forth his Son. And so he's God the Son. But he's God. He's equal to God. As God is holy, he too is holy. And so when he was here, he never sinned at all. In him, there was no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. The Bible says he was perfect. How different from you and from I. He was not under sin. He was not under the curse. That's what it says as well, that he became the curse for us. But he did not have any sin, and he was pure. That's why it tells us that he was made of a woman. He was born of the Virgin. He was one who had a unique birth. God sent his Son into the world, and Mary, she brought forth her firstborn child. And there was of the virgin born, the Holy One of God. That is that she did not, that he did not inherit that sinful nature from Adam down through the generations. He was distinctly different. And it was a miracle that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a child. Otherwise, impossible. But God, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Here was one who, as we said, did no sin and magnified the law. He kept the whole law. There was no response to sin in him at all. God manifest in flesh. God is a man, if you like. And he had power, all authority, and of how he could do the miracles that he did, the many signs and wonders. And he healed the leper. He raised the dead. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear. And the Lord Jesus had all power that he could heal and help men and women down here. But he came in order that he might die and that he might be, as verse 13 of chapter 3 says, being made a curse for us. That is that he would hang upon a tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And he allowed men to take him and to spit in his face and to buffet him with their hands and with their fists. They whipped him in his back like a ploughed field. His back is described as. And of how they plaited a crown of thorns and placed it so roughly upon his head. Remember, this is God's love being shown towards you. You are the one that should have been there, that should have been paying the price for your own sin, and will do unless you turn to him for all eternity. But in those hours upon the cross, as he was pierced and hanging upon the cross, we hear the words of John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved you that he gave in death on the cross, the Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you that in hours of darkness, when the sun should have been shining at its zenith, there was darkness and none could move. They couldn't see a thing. And they heard the voice from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in the distance, the Lord Jesus, in the darkness, knew the distance as God turned his face from him and forsook him upon the cross. Why? Because he was made to be the curse for us. The consequences of sin. He bore all upon the tree, all for you and all for me. And so the Lord Jesus, he paid the price. He shed his own life's blood, showing that the life had been given. And on after the darkness, he could cry, finish. And the work is done, eternally complete. And God is satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. And then he entered into death itself. And we know that death is the consequence, the curse of the law. And he entered into death. But death could not hold him. And praise God, on the third, the appointed day, he rose out again from among the dead. And he's now alive forevermore and has ascended into heaven itself. And so we preach a risen Saviour, one who's able to save you today, who's able to redeem you from the curse of the law. And we know that we need to believe in Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 16 of chapter 2. Can I ask you today, are you believing in Jesus Christ? The Acts 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not just to believe about, to understand the facts, to even understand you're a sinner, and that you're going to a lost eternity, and that Jesus came from heaven and he died for you, but to recognize it was for you, it was for me. And rest your all there. He took my place, and I'm resting there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Are you saved today? Do you know the joy of sins forgiven, completely cleansed in your heart? Know that you have a relationship with God in heaven, and that you know one day that you will not stand at the great white throne, but you'll be in heaven itself, with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How is that possible? Well, we need to repent of our sin, turn round about from our sin toward God, acknowledge him humbly as Lord and Master, no longer going to live life as we want to live, but acknowledging that he is the one that we will serve and that we will follow. The first step is to be baptized, to be put underneath water and be brought back up again. Nothing special about the water. It's a symbol that we are dead and buried to the old way of life and we're raised to walk in newness of life. I wonder if you're saved today. I wonder if you're baptized. The Bible says, or the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I would long today that you'll be in heaven. And I would long that you'd be baptized. An obedient believer who's declaring that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.